Welcome to Parenting Matters. We talk about parenting matters. Why? Because parenting matters.
Welcome back to Parenting Matters. We're going to talk about some fun stuff today. I think Tanya's excited. She took a lot of notes. I'm very excited, selfishly, because I feel pretty good about this, actually.
Well, when you brought it up to me, I'm kind of doing this.
Yeah, which
this
is crazy.
Like affirmation that I'm doing it right.
After the anxiety talk last week, I was having all this anxiety that I'm not doing things right because it's so different than what a lot of other places people are doing and what the world's showing me. And so I was worried.
Yeah.
And then you listen to another person and you're like, I like him more.
Yeah. Because he's saying what I'm doing, which is okay because every child is different. Every parent is different. We are all created different. You parent the way that works for your family.
That's right. And the truth is, I will say that is true, but based on what we're going to talk about today, this is kind of a non-negotiable.
There are some things.
And today what we're going to talk about, which is specifically, we're going to talk about, again, we're going to talk a little bit about marriage and how that affects your parenting. But we're going to look at some of the things that go into parenting in the 21st century, the things that are a little bit different, the things that I think once you become aware of something, you know, it's one thing to be ignorant, but when you become aware of something, then you have no choice but to make adjustments based on that, right? Otherwise, it's sinful, right?
It's sinful. Yeah. I was going to say, like, even sometimes you kind of know what's right, but then culture just really speaks loudly a different message. But when you go back to scripture and you see, like, oh, no, that was right, then you can't keep living according to what culture says, you know, and that's hard.
And you also said it when we were talking a little bit before the show. Some of these things can be offensive.
They can be.
Because there are so many people that are living in opposition to what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. But as you said it, scripture teaches us one thing.
Yeah.
And that's, you can argue that all day long. You can say I don't like it.
Right.
But, you know, as a Christ follower.
If you believe in Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. If you don't believe in Jesus. If you're not a Christ follower, then hey, you're off the hook today. Yeah. You can do.
That's right, for this.
It's not going to work out as well.
Yeah.
And I would say even if you don't believe in Jesus or if you don't follow Christ, these principles will benefit your parenting much more.
And I think there's a good message in here that you might reconsider believing in Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's the thing. Are you curious what we're going to talk about? It's really, we're going to give you the secret to parenting success.
Secret to parenting.
It's not 100%, but it is certainly you have a much greater chance of being successful through this. So stay for the next couple of minutes because we're going to talk about a few other things before we get to that, which I think are important, right? In my house, we don't have a lot of rules.
Right? I liked these things at the beginning. Go ahead.
Yeah. The first thing is we don't have a lot of rules in our house, and I think that rules are good, obviously.
Rules are good.
As a one or at least a partial Enneagram one. I enjoy rules. I enjoy having structure. I know you do as well.
I do.
Because I'd like to know where to go.
I create my own rules when there are none.
Yep. And you don't even have to.
I do it all the time.
Friends make fun of me a lot for that. And I say, listen, I just made a rule. I'm sorry. That's what it is. But kids, when you make a rule in your family and your kids know what they're not supposed to do, they don't know what they should do.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it makes sense. Don't do that thing, but do all the other things. Like,
right.
Okay, that's pretty nebulous.
It is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're like, don't hit your sister with a bat. Fine. I'll just kick her instead.
Yeah. Or I'll, okay. A bat. What about a golf club?
Right.
How does that sound? I'll try that. but the real point is if you make a bunch of rules and you tell your kids the whole time what they're not allowed to do, then the first thing they're going to do when they're not under your roof or they're under your constant parenting is they're going to do those things.
Yeah.
And so I was telling my kids at the table just the other day, listen, you have a lot of freedoms in this house. You have, and it was in the middle of I was yelling at my son. I was getting on to my son because.
I can't imagine you yelling. I'd really kind of wanted to be a fly on the wall.
I think the kids don't like it either because it doesn't happen very often. But when they do, they get really quiet and they listen.
So they know.
Yes, sir. Obviously, he's pretty passionate about this one. But I was getting on to them and explaining to them, you know, listen, we don't have a lot of rules in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of privileges. You have a lot of things that you get to choose to do because I want you to guide your own path, right? I don't want you to be me.
Right.
I want you to be you. And right. I'm going to show you a lot of cool stuff that I know, but you get to make your decision whether or not you want to do those things, right? Like, I was completely into sports. My parents put me into sports. I was in sports all my life.
Yeah.
And it really was the direction of my life for a very long time. And I made the decision early on. I wasn't going to force my kids into that.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't enjoy it, but because I think it was important for them to choose mm-hmm. what they were good at. And the truth is, the biggest reason why I did that is because my wife's not into sports. And I got to see another side of it, because in my life, it was only sports.
It was everything.
There was
yeah.
no other choice. Yeah. And so when I, you know, got with Rainey, it was like, huh.
There's more to life than sports.
You don't care anything about this. That's interesting.
That's interesting.
And the truth is, my parents actually figured it out as they got more into parenting. Good. My sisters, my two youngest sisters, they were just like, no sports at all.
That's good. They grew and they learned. And
then, I think my parents said, you're going to get to make your own choices.
Yeah.
Not that.
It's great.
I certainly wasn't rebellious, but I had another sister that was pretty rebellious because they tried to put their thumb mm-hmm. on her, and she had yeah. a very strong personality, and she rebelled yeah. from that. Some people won't. Some kids have just a personality type right. where you put your thumb on them. Exactly.
Yeah.
And me.
And I would just do it.
Innately, I'm going to follow the rules. Yep. Even if I don't agree with the rules, I'm like, right. well, that's the rule. I'm going to do yep. this, and it's silly. And
yep.
But so you put your thumb on some people, and they're just like, okay, fine. But others
have that strong will.
Creative and yeah. spirited type, they're mm-hmm. they're not going to do that.
Yeah. One thing I thought was interesting from this was a lot of us make all these rules because we're afraid. We're afraid yeah. We're going to do something wrong, or that our children are going to reject us or whatever. So a lot of these rules really come out of fear. And I thought that was really interesting.
And it is easier
true for me.
If you're trying to control
yeah,
everything
trying to control
in your life,
it.
Which is really where it comes out
yeah.
of you make those rules because you are afraid. What if, mm-hmm. and like, that's why I told yeah. you I had some anxiety, because right. I'm going, maybe I'm messing this whole thing up.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have enough structure. But the truth is, we have a lot of structure in our house,
right?
But it's built around your ability to choose certain things.
Yeah.
Our kids, I'm pretty sure I had a bedtime my whole life. But
your
my kids
don't?
Do not have a bedtime.
Even Zoe?
No. Once you hit a certain age.
Okay. I was like, wow.
So like, once you get to junior high,
yeah.
junior
okay.
high,
yeah.
that you get to
that
choose
makes sense.
As
yeah.
long as you can get yourself up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
that's how we were. I
have
a single
no
dad.
Idea what time Zoe
he
Paige goes
go
to bed.
Yeah.
I have no idea what time Paige goes to yeah. bed, and Jackson at this point. Isabella, I have a pretty good idea because we have a few more restrictions on her, but that's a whole different thing. But the little ones, they have a bedtime
mm-hmm.
because
Zoe, they need that.
Yeah,
they need
that. Leticia, the 10, is getting closer to where mm-hmm. she can make her own choices. She's not as grumpy in the morning. She's not yeah. as tired in the morning.
Yeah.
So we might be extending her bedtime soon. Zoe, on the other hand, she wakes up every day at 6 o'clock.
Grumpy.
No matter what time we put her to bed. So we have to put her to bed at about 8:30. Otherwise, she will be up at 6 and super
yeah.
tired and not yeah. as good in class.
Yeah. And those are just things they're not ready to regulate themselves. Yeah. It's about like maturity more than rules or... Mm-hmm.
And I was explaining to them,
yeah.
you know, we give you a lot of freedom. We're going to step in at this point when we need to, because it's going to harm you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're going to let you feel a few of your mistakes because... you need to,
mm-hmm.
because if I just told you all of the things, you might comply because you're a good person.
Right.
But eventually you're going to go, I'm going to try that myself.
Yeah.
And I'd rather you feel free to try something.
Yes.
And then me be
and
right there
up.
To go,
mm-hmm.
hey, but that goes back to what we talked about. Again, go back on the podcast. You
yes.
can look at all the episodes. We've done quite a few.
Done a few.
We've talked
yeah.
a lot about, you know, the ideals in parenting of what to try and what not to try. But we, you know, we've said...
natural consequences,
yeah.
right?
Like, there are certain yeah. types, there are certain times in life where you are that person that's walking them hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing them the way.
Right.
Then at some point, you're kind of the coach on the sideline
yeah.
who is calling in the plays, but you have to trust them to play
to yeah.
run it and play it. And then eventually, they're calling their own plays,
and
you're just
yeah.
in the stands going,
you're like an advisor.
Yay,
yeah.
you're doing a great job. You know, but more than likely, they're not coming into the stands to ask you how to do things, and you're definitely not going on the field because you'd get arrested.
Yeah.
It's not officially the way it
is. If you watch.
That's where the illustration
great,
breaks down a lot,
great,
actually.
Great analogy.
So those are the kind of things. What were some of the other ones that jumped out at you?
I think some of the first things he said is like the families he saw, that had better relationships with their kids had fewer rules. And I think about my sister, actually, and she's not a Christ follower, but she has got a great relationship with her kids. Mm-hmm. And that's because of a lot of the things you said, like they had freedom. They trusted her enough to like come and talk to her when they became teenagers and things like that. And so I just thought that was a good like confirmation of like, wow, I've seen that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's fewer good. Rules.
How many kids does she
Again,
have?
That's not the same as like just neglecting your children and letting them do what they want and run amok.
There is
she
a fine
was
line.
There, like you yes. said, she was right there to kind of like, that didn't work out so well.
How did that go for you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you could have done.
Yeah. And just to support them really like, so she has two kids, 21 and 16.
Nice.
Yeah. They're old now. Makes me feel old, but it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's good.
Hey, you're going to bring it back. You're going to be That's having right. small children here soon, right. and everybody's going to be like...
Well, and the other sister has a 2.5-year-old, so not quite.
There you go. yeah, it's that is definitely true. And I think, so like you said, there's a fine line. I remember parents growing up who were friends with their kids,
yeah,
not parents with their kids.
Right.
And they did all those things. They gave them the freedoms to make their choices and do all those other things, but...
And then just let them.
But then, yeah, no exactly. Guidance. No guidance. Yeah. There was no, if something bad happened, it was, well, they would either get in trouble even more.
Right. Yes.
Which was kind of reactionary.
It was crazy.
And there was definitely no plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they just were allowed to do whatever. And then, yeah. Oh, what are you going to do?
Right.
Which is also bad. But if you're there and you watch them, you know, you see the mistake coming and you don't stop it. Now, listen, if they're about to get hit by a bus, jump in front of there right. and make sure you take care of it. If it's something that's going to be detrimental or life altering, mm-hmm. you stop that.
Right.
But if it's something that's in the grand scheme, not going to have a huge right. repercussion, let them make that mistake.
Yeah.
Right. Again, this goes back to when I was a kid, we used to have these things called cigarette lighters in the car.
Yes.
You push it in, it pops out, it's red.
Please tell me your children, and your parents didn't use
my that. Parents said, because I loved playing with that thing.
Oh,
and
okay.
my mom was like, hey,
it was not a discipline tool.
It was not
tool.
A disciplinary tool. What do you think this is? I'd be a lot different person if
Lifetime
that was the case.
Movie.
Yeah, that's Sorry. True. We'll be going back. We'll be writing a script. No, I'm the moron in this story.
Okay.
So I'd pull it out and I'd look at it, and every once in a while I would burn something in it. And my mom's like, listen, that is, first off, stop burning things. Second,
you pyro.
Don't touch it. It's hot. I'm like, okay. And the next thing you know, I'm going, screaming, crying, burn finger. And my mom's just looking at me like,
I told you so.
What is your problem? I'm sorry. I didn't think it was going to be that hot. The red went away. Come on. Anyway, that's part of it, right? She could have smacked me. She could have taken the thing. She
exactly.
could have put it away.
Could've
but I think she
you.
Was like, he's...
I've told him before, and he's not learning.
That's
so.
Right. Those who can't listen have to feel.
That's right.
That's what the philosophy was. She didn't say those words. That came along a lot later. But she adhered to that policy of, well, he's going to find out.
And it's true. And again, it didn't kill you.
Nope.
It didn't.
They typically stopped me right before I killed myself yeah. on something. They would be like, nope, that tree, not that tree.
That tree, you could break your neck.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
There was a rule in my family, because I climbed a lot of trees. There was a rule that was, if you fall out of the tree, you will get a spanking. And I always thought that's a dumb rule because I'm already probably broken.
Yeah, you're going to have a broken
leg
or something.
You're going to go ahead and spank me on the way to the hospital.
Well,
that's cool. But I never fell out of a tree. So
I was going to say, maybe that was incentive.
It was quite the incentive.
To be a little more careful.
It made me at least think about, if I do follow the tree, I'm going to be hurt anyway, and then they're going to spank me.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
And you already know what a spanking feels like, probably. But falling out of a tree, you might not have never
things.
Done that.
Yeah, and that was not actually something I really wanted to know. I was smart enough to go, this would hurt.
Not going
to
fall out of a tree, yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Was there anything else that he brought up before we get to the main event, the secret sauce?
So one other thing he mentioned that he saw in these parents who had great relationships with their kids is they resisted the temptation to involve their kids in everything, every activity, every sport, everything. And they valued relationships, family relationships, over those experiences, right? Sometimes we get so caught up in my child has to have all these experiences, whether it's sports or but maybe it's like taking your kid camping or Build-A-Bear or whatever, you know, you can't afford it, but you take them because they have to have it, whatever. Like, we get so stuck in, like, my kid needs all these experiences, but these people that he observed really valued having relationships with their children. And sometimes experiences can bring those relationships. That's not what I'm saying, but I just like that, you know.
Well, I think,
don't have that fear of your child missing out on things.
Don't feel like you got to put yourself into massive debt.
Yes.
In order for your kids to go to Disney World every year.
Jam your schedule with dance and
if they don't get into baseball. That's right. And unfortunately, we see that a lot, don't we? Mm-hmm. We see a lot of parents that are overcommitted and over.
And their kids aren't in just one sport.
No, they're in multiple sports.
Everything.
They feel like they have to take them on all these vacations. They feel like they have to give them all these experiences. And again, all of those things are really good.
Definitely.
And just
there's
like anything else.
In those things.
There is a fine line between that which is an enriching thing, that mm-hmm. is just an experience, that which makes things better, and spoiling them.
Right.
Or just burning them out. You put them
We're
in
just
five
trying
different
to live up to everybody else's expectations like we talked about last week.
You're
well,
never
on
going
Facebook,
to.
That family's doing all these things, so I better take my kids to do these things too.
One of the things that I've learned, I've tried to learn, it's still hard for me. Everyone has different capacities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
There are some families that have the capacity to go, do, and it works for them.
Right.
There are other people and other families that is not the case.
It stresses them out and you can tell.
That's right. Just like a person has a capacity to do certain things and handle a certain amount of stress.
Right.
Other people do not have that. You know, some people are good at math.
Yeah.
Others are not. Our capacities are different. And
some
that's
people
okay.
can paint.
That's
some
right.
Some of us can't.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Exactly.
That's the key. If all of your trying, I was watching The Social Dilemma last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever watched that.
Nope.
It's very interesting. Obviously, it's a little bit of propaganda against certain things.
Figures.
But the general tone of it is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if all we do is constantly try to measure ourselves against thousands and millions of people, we are never going to be able to meet that standard. We weren't designed to. We were designed for a few people.
And we're designed to be uniquely us.
Yeah, but as far as to trying to live up to someone's standards,
mm-hmm.
we were designed originally, if you go back in time, if you look in history, the vast majority of people, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 people, right, that are your circle of people that
are influencers
and all those things. Now, you could possibly have millions of people all over the world.
People you've never even laid your eyes on.
That's right. But they're laying their eyes on you and making determinations, and you're allowing their decisions and their judgments to. I watch a lot of YouTube, and I watch a lot of people that are pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their main complaints when they're in an honest conversation is the expectation level and the comments are the things that they constantly dwell on. And it causes them anxiety.
Sure.
It causes them depression because there are, no matter how many good comments they get, the negative comment is the thing that's they're going to harp on. And you're the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's one thing when it comes from someone that we deeply care about.
And when it's face-to-face versus a written comment.
Yep. And
but you can look them in the eye.
But for some reason, that same power comes from someone that you've never met and doesn't live anywhere near you, doesn't have anything, and is probably making everything up about themselves.
Right.
Some reason that can infect us. And and the younger generation, Generation Z and on, they've been consumed by this. That's right.
They
that's why we have so
different.
Much more anxiety in younger kids these days than we've ever had.
Right.
Because they're trying to live up to a standard that is unattainable. And we do the same thing in our families, trying to live up to a standard that is unrealistic. And only you can set the expectation and the reality for your family. So that's a great point. Great point.
That was a great point. All right, let's
all
get
right,
to the heart
secret
of this
sauce,
thing.
And we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. We're just going to tell you.
We're going to tease you with it.
Yeah, we kind of teased you a little bit just with that one. The relationship part, your relationship with your spouse is the most important part. Now, we realize there are probably people listening.
Good parenting.
Yeah, there are probably people parenting that are in single parents.
Yes.
And this is no judgment. This is no
no condemnation.
Yeah, none of that. We understand there are situations that have happened and things that have taken place.
Sometimes you can't go back.
Out of your control, and you can't go back. But if you're not in that place and you do have a husband and a wife and you're working things through and things are getting difficult and things are tough, let me just explain something to you. The marriage relationship is the single greatest indicator of how your kids are going to come out.
And that is hard for a lot of parents to hear. I remember having this discussion with someone, and of course I wasn't married at the time and I didn't have children, so they really didn't take what I said at all.
They were like, well, that just seems like book knowledge.
But basically, you know, like, your marriage relationship has to be first, and then your kids will be happier. But they disagreed with me very strongly and were like, no, I got to put my kids first. And I was like, okay. And
you can. And
now
you're
they're divorced.
Yeah. They're going to be divorced, but you're also going to see that your kids are resentful of you.
Yep.
Because they don't know. At some point in their life, they're not going to be the center of the attention.
Right.
And they're not going to know how to handle it. Right. And I think that's the greater damage that comes from putting your kid, having a kid-centric
family
yeah. is that they start to believe that they're the center of the universe. Right. And then the first time that they're not,
right,
it their whole world falls
their world.
Apart.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And it just doesn't always develop the character in the child that you maybe you were hoping they will have sometimes.
You go back to scripture.
Yeah.
Now, scripture is a little bit different time. Kids had nothing.
They
were not
valued
very
well. They were
not considered at all. No. If they died on the trail, they died on the trail, and yes. you went, that's the less mouth to feed. Okay, so.
Which is very sad.
That may not necessarily be the standard, kind of like women. Women were not valued also.
Right. Until Jesus came along.
That's right. And okay, so that's a different standard, but you have to understand, like, there are some grains of things in there that you can use in that all the world has not centered.
Yes. If you look at the rest of the world,
that's
yes.
right. They have not centered solely on the kids.
Right.
And there is a reason for that.
Right.
Now, I always say, I tell my kids all the time, I just got back from a little vacation with my wife. We took a weekend and we said, hey kids, we're going to figure out where you're going to be and we'll see you in a couple of days. And they went, well, can we go? And we said, not even a chance.
This is for us.
This is for us. And a lot of times they'll say, well, why? How come you guys get to go on a lot of vacations and we never get to go on them? Like, first, you do get to go on vacations. it's crazy expensive to take all of you on a vacation with us. It's not that we don't want to, but it kind of is. And three, in a few years, you guys are all going to be leaving and you're not going to give us any thought at all.
Right.
Rightly so.
Right.
About where your life is going to take you. And the two of us are going to be here.
Yeah.
And if we don't like each other at that point, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
So we're investing in ourselves right now, in our marriage right now, to make sure that this is last. The most important thing. And
right.
and that's the reality of it. This is the thing that we have said. I didn't tell my kids I was going to have them hold sickness and health. I mean, I will.
Right.
Right. Because innately they were, you know,
they're yours. They're
part of me.
Responsibility.
But that's not the design either.
Right.
My design is not to take care of them for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
My design is to take care of my wife for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are good and come and there's love there and there's a bond that, like I was telling you yesterday, you don't know love until you've had a kid.
Yeah.
And you go, man, that is a deeper type of love than I've ever felt.
Yeah.
But your job is to make them into good adults.
Right.
Not to make them into dependence on yourself. That is completely centered on your entire world. Now, you may be listening to this thinking, well, my kids are not the center of the universe. Let's take an audit. All right. Let's look at the amount of time you spend doing things for your kids, about your things for your kids. And there are times, right, when your kids are babies.
Right.
You can't help it.
Right.
Right. That is just.
It's survival.
The reality of it. They are 100% dependent on you.
Right.
So there are times where you have to, you have to figure out times to take breaks and to, you know, go on date nights with your husband.
Yeah, you still have to do all those things.
You may not be able to get away for a week because, you know.
Depending on who your
babies
grandparents
need you
are.
For a long period of time. And it's a lot of things to ask, but there are ways to invest in your marriage even during those crazy times. And you that's where you have to be a little bit more intentional and you're typically more tired. But as those kids get older, that's when you really, and this is what's happened in our life. As the kids have gotten older and they're less dependent on us, because we've run them through, you know, a non-complete dependence on parents, parenting model. You know, now when we say, hey, we're going off, they go, well, good for you guys. Way to go.
And you're teaching them when they get married that their spouse values their spouse.
Every time, I can't wait for you guys to get married and you get to do this to your kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, that seems so far away. But it's really not. It's really not. When you consider how much time you spend as a kid versus how much time you spend as an adult.
Yeah.
It is way less.
Way less.
But it sure seems longer during the time.
When you're a kid. For sure, because the time just flies as you get older.
Yeah,
it is. It just does.
Good grief. So invest in your marriage. Make that a priority.
And again, happier marriages create happier homes. Yep. It's just true.
It is. You can't fake it. Because kids know.
Can't fake it.
Kids know when you're faking it. Kids know when
you are. They feel the tension. They feel.
They know it when, even when you're not saying it and you're doing your best to make sure that they don't know. Mm-hmm. They know.
They know. Yep.
So yeah, that's that is so much better for their mental health. And the truth is, it may seem counterintuitive. It is counterintuitive. When they're not the center of the universe, it is better for them.
It is.
Mentally, anxiety-wise.
All of us.
Absolutely. And it's very important. Kids, you know, we deal with kids all the time. And mm-hmm. when we see kids that you can tell very quickly who's the center of the universe in their family.
Yes.
And who has a parent-centric family. Because, you know, they're just different. And it's hard to explain. But you can tell very quickly, especially the way that drop-offs take place, the way that, especially the way that they act in certain ways.
Sad, but I have one in mind.
Yeah. Well, we have lots in mind. Lots in mind.
The other day, I was like, "Oh boy, you're an only child, and I can tell."
and it's, I will say, one of the challenges that you might face because you got married a little later in life, mm-hmm. and you have kids later in life.
Right.
That is old. The people that I know that have had older. That I had kids old later in life, those kids become the center of the universe. Mm. And it's very strange. Now,
the good thing is I've worked with kids at least for the past 10 years, you know, seeing this and observing I'm taking notes, taking mental notes.
You do have a very unique perspective in that you've gotten to see that works. That doesn't work.
Exactly.
My kid's not going to do that because I'm not going to do this. Right. Mm-hmm. When I was really young, I used to say my kid's not going to do that. And people were like, they're probably going to.
Yeah.
And in most situations they did, but in the things that my attitude and my
it's not what my kid's going to do, it's what I'm going to do.
That's right.
I'm not going to do that as a parent. And then I don't know what my kids are going to do.
They're not going to do certain things.
Right. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you are a great parent and your child is just who your child is.
We know several of those people. There's nothing you can do. And you just got to pray for them.
You do. I know some. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's the best parent I've seen and their child is still running crazy.
Uh-huh. And so. That's just, yeah.
You just pray.
You just go, that's genetics or something.
God works it all out for them.
But so, yeah, the marriage. Take an audit of your marriage and take an audit of your family and see where your time is being spent.
This is interesting that he said, it's easy to isolate parenting from marriage. And I just thought, why is that? Is it because marriage is hard work? You know, it's vulnerability and emotional. And a lot of parenting is doing and going. And I don't know. That was just my thought.
Yeah. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the number one, for me, it would be because marriage is always a choice.
Mm, yes.
Always a choice.
True.
You always choose to commit every day to that person because you have no biological ties to that person.
Right.
You have certain, you know, ties, but
covenant, but
but that's it, right? Yeah. With a kid, that is you.
Right.
That is part of you. And no matter what, no matter how angry you are at them, you still love them.
You can't just leave them on the side of the road.
I mean,
it's frowned upon.
There are people that do, and there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Because to have that ability to just cut that tie, I don't know how you could do it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the biggest thing, is you have to work every day at your marriage. And you have to work
like
every day at being
a
good parent.
It's a choice every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But you get to make the choice to be a great partner every day. And that gets hard. And there are times where it's easier to bail out and you know, the only thing that I have is just my word and I'll get that back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But your flesh and blood sitting there staring at you that looks just like you and sounds a lot like you and acts a lot like you. You're like, that's a harder thing to just bail from. So I would say that's probably that.
Good thought.
So work on your marriages. Make sure that those are the priorities. Take an audit, look and see if your marriage is kid-centric or spouse-centric. Again, you're not focusing on your marriage to the to the deprivation right. of your kids. Like they're right. not, you're not, my kids, I don't think would ever say that I've left them out, right? We're celebrating right. their birthdays. We're doing yeah. all the things
you're
that.
You're taking them on vacation.
We're taking them on vacation.
Doesn't feel like a lot to them, yeah, but
we
you are.
Give them whatever they want. They've got yeah. so much stuff. They've got, you know, freedom to
trampolines
do things. And I mean, and all of the things that, yeah. that they can
they're happy
want.
Kids.
They are.
They're happy kids.
They have plenty.
Don't worry about Seth's kids.
Sometimes
they are happy.
More than they need. I would like to, I've been trying to institute a, every time you have a birthday, you can get any toys you want, but you have to give me two.
Okay.
That's a wonderful process because yeah. then you're losing more than you're gaining and
good.
It hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened
I've
yet.
I've been overruled every time.
Oh, sad. Well,
I've been overruled. I think it's a good genius
idea.
Plan.
It is a genius plan.
Because you all of a sudden get so much stuff and you're like,
you get to bless somebody
why
else.
Why do we have so much of this?
And there's nowhere to put it anymore.
No, there's not.
Okay. Nowhere to put it anymore. So for those of you who don't have a spouse mm-hmm. at this time, for whatever reason, make sure your kids are around people who have that model, that they can see that. Find a community where your kids are part of families who model good marriages.
That's very important. So she said, get them around a community of people. Mm-hmm. Don't go find just any guy on the street.
Yes.
Okay. That's a very important, well, it's just a very important thing because a lot of single parents
oh, I gotcha.
Are like, I have to, this is so important. I have to go find somebody.
I need to go meet somebody. Yeah.
Right. And so you force the situation, yeah. but then you end up in a much worse situation right. with someone that is
you
not
really can.
Who you care about.
Yeah.
And then you might end up with a second divorce or a mm-hmm. second problem.
Right.
Or a second, even a worse problem.
Yeah.
So surround yourself not with the intention to get married again.
Right.
You know,
that's
if it happens,
not what I said.
Okay. But realize that anytime you bring in a second marriage in any way, there's always going to be troubles with that, especially
it
when kids are involved.
It comes with a lot of things. Yes.
But surround yourself with a community that can support you mm-hmm. and help you. And it needs to be mixed gender community
yep.
where there are guys that are willing to speak truth into your kids' lives yep. and say things not like a dad, because
right.
that can't happen, or not like a mom,
right.
but as a person of influence.
Right.
They need to be in church where they're hearing yes. from people that are, you know, their pastor or their
teachers,
small
or,
group leaders yeah. or something like that. Those are very impactful people, you know,
even friends, like go over to your friends' houses and
that's right,
you know, do dinner together, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Get involved,
small groups, community groups, whatever.
Don't feel like you have to fill the void with another partner,
right?
Because that would be way worse.
Yes,
especially now if you find someone that is perfect and you know, again, you're still gonna have, regardless, even
it's
if that person
hard.
Is perfect, there's still gonna
blended
be there's still gonna be difficulties.
Yes,
just know that. But a community of friends, of people, can help you to at least limit the mm-hmm. amount of issues that are going to happen. And,
yeah.
and unfortunately, there are going to always be difficulties when you're raising a child outside of the way that God designed it, which is a male and a female mm-hmm. married in yeah. a strong relationship, because kids see way more than they listen.
Yeah.
And they're watching those relationships and they're watching that relationship
yes.
and they're seeing. That's why it's so important, you know, be real around your kids, be affectionate around your kids, mm-hmm. have fun
yeah.
around your kids. Don't weird stuff, but be real
yeah.
because your kids need to see what does it look like to be married.
Right.
Because you can sit down and talk to them all you want.
Right.
They're not listening to that.
If they don't see it.
But they have to see it.
Yes.
So be around a community where they can see other married couples. And again, we're really sorry. I know this is difficult and I know that the world is telling you that if a marriage is very difficult, then get out and take care
right.
of yourself and all of that. I would say make sure you work on it longer than you think you need to.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in a bad relationship right
you
now,
can.
If you're in a bad relationship right now, and if you're with someone that is not treating you the way that you deserve to be treated, you need to work on it and be willing to be faithful and committed mm-hmm. to the vows that you have. I mean,
yes.
as long as you're in a place where you're not
physically harmed,
or even, you know, super emotionally being
right.
abused. But if you're in a place that is unhealthy right now, get some help.
Mm-hmm.
Love that person greater than you think you can, and
right.
for longer than you think you can, and make sure that you get some help. Do everything you can to make sure that that marriage will last,
mm-hmm.
because it's for the greater good of your kids. They need to see that. And even if it's
for
been
yourself.
Difficult,
yeah.
yeah, for you too, but
it
for
really
your,
is.
you know, your kids need to see when difficult things happen, because mm-hmm. they're most likely going to go through difficult parts in their relationship.
You don't want them to just jump, bail ship.
And that's right, because they'll do the same. But they need to see, even if you worked hard, I can think of one marriage right now that they got to the point of she filed the divorce papers and he said, I don't want to do this. And mm-hmm. he was the biggest reason why they were getting a divorce. And he started working, and that's he even awesome. Moved out for a little while and just stayed true and constantly
worked on it
and it took him about 2 years, but now they're good. And their kids watched that, you know, they saw that and they went, okay, that's about as hard as it could possibly get.
Yep.
And yet they still made it through, and they made the decision to stay together, not for us, but for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to play a huge role in their kids' lives as they get older get married, and they'll know what it means to really fight for your marriage and fight for the relationship. Mm. It's so much easier to walk away. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because there's so much tragedy that follows.
There really is. All of those things. And you don't think about that, but I even think about my parents who are divorced. I'm 36 years old. They divorced when I was 9. It still affects me.
Yeah.
Like it, you just...
And you know better. You're a minister. I mean, you're all of the things that, like, you know, they love you. You know
exactly
that, you know, whatever happened, and you understand that. But at the same time, there is still,
it still affects you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I would say that's like best case scenario, because they're still amicable. They talk.
Right. They are. We do
actually
everything
for a while. I had no idea that they were divorced when I first got to know you. And then I found out, I'm like, really? Well, that's impressive. You know, I've one of my brother-in-laws is the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
The family, the mom and the dad they talk, they're friends, and it's kind of weird actually, but it works. But there is still wake in the middle of all
there
that.
Is. There
so
is.
Just consider that
yep.
as you are moving through marriage, and understand that this is one of the greatest parenting tips we can give you, which is have a great marriage, work on a great marriage, fight for a great marriage. Yep.
Pray. If you can't do anything right now, if you're at that place where you're like, I don't have anything in me, pray. You know, start there. Let that be your starting point.
Yep. Absolutely. Because that is the greatest tool and greatest power you have.
Mm-hmm.
And listen for what God would tell you to do in that. All right. Fantastic. Great. Thanks so much, Tanya. Thank you.
Yeah. Fun topic.
Everyone for listening. If you have any questions, you can certainly email us. We are always available. Tanya at magnoliasfirst.org. Seth at magnoliasfirst.org. If you're angry at us or upset, or I'm sure that there's somebody that is thinking, yeah, you're welcome to send them to me. I'd love to sit down and talk with you further about all of this. Because I know there are certain circumstances out there that don't fall into that and are very difficult, but scripture is very clear about what it is, and time and time again, you can see it in your kids. But I would still love down to sit and we could walk through some of these options and some of these things. All right. Well, I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for joining us on Parenting Matters, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you next time.